Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, a place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network, Season 7, Episode 49. And Dave, let's start in a different place today. Let's start with the game last night between the Vikings and the Cowboys. And if you didn't stay up late to see it, the Vikings scored a late touchdown with 25 seconds left. And on the two-point conversion where they were trying to tie the game, Sam Bradford clearly gets hit in the head with two hands by a defensive lineman and one of them on his face mask, and there's no call. And Dave, I kind of threw up my arms during the game and said, this is the thing that bothers me about the NFL when they didn't make a call on another situation where there was an obvious penalty. And, you know, so much of it is judgment calls, and now they're going to hire some full-time refs. I watched that play last night, and it almost makes me want to walk away from the game at times because, you know, if you're a Vikings fan – and you see that, and there's no flag, after what happened to Cam Newton in the season opener about him getting hit in the head four times, how is it possible that somebody watching that play doesn't see that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you remember a few weeks ago, Daniel McCullers was not only flagged but fined for he hit McCown in the helmet as well, too, and it wasn't as flagrant. I mean, he's still hitting, but you know, it wasn't as flagrant as what happened to Sam Bradford in that game, you know, Thursday night. Is it the fact that we – I mean, look, bad calls have always happened. Is it the fact that we have more access and these slow-mo replays and camera angles?
That's part of it. I'm sure we see all of them now. But I mean, that one –
And we discuss them right away. I mean, it's like instantly we're on Twitter and it becomes a giant topic of conversation instantly, you know, as opposed to, you know, 10, 12 years ago, you know, maybe somebody writes about it the next morning in the paper type of thing. But, it's irritating. The inconsistencies, and I think that's what you're getting at more than anything, is the inconsistencies.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Of what is and isn't called, but in essence, couldn't you hold? You could probably call holding on every play.
You can call offensive or defensive pass interference virtually every play.
Right.
I mean, I guess one of the things we've come to realize now, and I don't know exactly, I haven't looked at the rule book and see how it's written, is, you know, you're allowed to hand fight basically in today's NFL, and that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. Guys initiating contact, guys as a receiver or on the other side. It's just, you know, the rule about face guarding used to exist. That doesn't exist anymore. Do you have to get your head around what's considered? I mean, all those things, there's such wide latitude in terms of the interpretation of what's called. The one last night, just after all the discussion we've had about quarterbacks and after what happened to Cam in the opening game, this is a nationally televised game. It's the play of the game. It's going to, you know, potentially decide the outcome. And it's just as clear as day. That's the thing. This isn't like, oh, you have to see it from the reverse angle to get, you know, see the call. I mean, everybody in the country saw this and they screwed it up.
Do you think we're going to get to a point where you can challenge something like that?
Well, you know, I'm all for trying to get things right and all for the use of technology. I don't know how you would a judgment call, even though it's clearly wrong. I don't know how you rule book that. I don't know how you script that to put it in.
You know, my old man taught me years ago. He says, Dave, he says, everything has a beginning and everything has an end at some point. So with that said, has the NFL reached its apex, you know, as far as successfulness?
That's a great question. You know what? I never thought about it, but I would say yes. And I would say mostly because of the concussion issue in terms of young kids not playing the game as readily as they have been. and I don't think we're going to see a swift decline. But if you, talking about Apex, I mean, it was probably, 5 years ago or right around, right in this sweet spot. And 50 years from now, we'll look and say, like we do now, talk about the glory days of the 70s. I think we might say, the early 2000s, those were that was the heyday of the NFL.
In 50 years, will there be an NFL? Not that I'll be around.
me neither. But I think so. I think it'll be an NFL. But
do you think the game will have changed? Let's even look out 20 years from now.
I wonder if they'll have a chip in the football to spot the ball.
Why don't we have that now?
I don't know. I mean, you look at the Michigan-Ohio State game, or we can pick, that's just the most recent example.
Laser beams, right?
yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got the technology, so you'd think that's something they will get. What was the game last week where it was a Monday night game or a Thursday night game? Was it it looked like the guy, it was Houston against – remember when it looked like they got the first down a couple times and Bill O'Brien didn't challenge the first one and challenged the second one and he didn't win the challenge, even though it was clear that they were – at least it appeared clear that they were over the first down line. The Texans lost the game. it doesn't matter. But so
that,
yeah,
what, was that the Chargers game or no?
No, I feel like it was the Texans and the
– Raiders.
The Raiders, yeah. I was rooting for the Texans because it would have served the Steelers well. You get that stuff wrong. They get, so I would think that would be one obvious thing. Obviously you'd think the equipment will continue to improve. I think they'll continue to make it so you can't hit anybody in the head. What's interesting is, we know that you can't hit guys in the head, but all those contact, all the contact around, running backs putting their head down, going into the line of scrimmage, that's never going to change. And I don't know, somewhere along the way, that rule would become different because we still have violent head-on-head collisions in the box basically every game, and it's offensive and defensive linemen, and those are from a yard away, so we don't think about them as much. But when the running backs are going and the safety's coming up from the box, some nasty stuff. I don't know if that'll ever get legislated out of the game.
And these players are getting faster and stronger every year, right? And it's only going to cause more and result in more and more harder hitting, if you will. I think. I don't want to be doom and gloom. On this Friday ahead of such a big game, but it does make you wonder. And I've thought about this several times since the whole concussion thing has become more prominent, is what is the future of the game? Has the game reached its apex, and is it on a downward trend, and what's the NFL going to look like in 20 years? Some will tell you it's over officiated now, right?
Sure. It's more fun to watch a game with four penalties than 40 penalties. No question. And then everybody complains about what doesn't happen, but
do they need to put all players have to wear giant oven mitt type things? Bless you. So they can't hold or grab jerseys or stuff like that. Holding's gonna always exist. It's whether or not you're good at it. And can get away. One of those calls last night, who was it? Doug Free at the second level on one of those blocks. Borderline kind of holding call that really took away a big play, if you will, I think, by Ezekiel Elliott and all. So, yeah,
The play that set me going was when I can't remember which way it went, but one of the offensive linemen had his arm wrapped around the neck.
Well, that was called.
From behind.
Right, that was called.
Okay.
That one was called, but and good thing it was. That was quite obvious. That was a 10-yard free ride right there, or not free ride, but I don't know. I don't know how much of this you know, technology and Zoom replays after every play, and we're immediately able to discuss it, and fans of the game are a lot more educated now than they were, say, 10, 15 years ago. It's an interesting topic, you know, for sure. And how much do you think full-time officials will help?
Not that much. I mean, I don't think. Well, we have the occasional misinterpretation of the rule book. I don't think that's the issue. And I think guys understand the rules. And are you sitting around watching 100 more games and tape? Is that going to make you better at seeing what happens on the field? I don't think the guys missed the call on the field because they're not full time refs on last night's game. I just, for whatever reason, they missed it. So. To me, that's never been a huge deal, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, how what impact it has, and I don't know how they're going to fill up those guys' time. Literally, what are they going to have them do for 5 days a week? You know, just sit and watch game film? You're going to sit and read the rule book? I mean, how much is there to, you know, really for them to learn that they don't know? They know this stuff. They can work on being fit and being in the right place, but I've never felt like that was that big a deal to me.
Yeah, I mean, they need to do something with them during that time. Have them watch film the whole time. Maybe attend a few practices or whatever. But definitely something that's going to be talked about more and more moving forward.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the injury report. I didn't see the latest, Dave, yesterday. Status quo?
Yeah, you have D'Angelo Williams and Darius Heyward-Bey. Both sitting out practice again on Thursday. Both those guys are obviously not going to play Sunday against the Giants. You have guys like Shamarco Thomas and Xavier Grimble both practicing fully again. So that's a good sign. I think Mike Tomlin hinted strongly that Shamarco Thomas will be back this week with that groin, and they can't wait to get him back because of his special teams contributions. One addition to the injury report on Thursday, that was David DeCastro, who sat out Thursday's practice with an illness. One would think that he would be back today. And Antonio Brown was removed from the injury report on Thursday after having a rare day off on Wednesday. So all things considered, when you talk about the players that the Steelers have lost so far this season to injury, a healthy bunch overall. Now the question becomes, there's some talk about DeMarcus Ayers possibly being promoted from the practice squad on Saturday. Who goes? Is Darius Heyward-Bey not making enough, is his recovery not coming along fast enough that he goes on IR? If that's not the case, who goes? Is it going to be a guy like Shabazz? With Shamarco back, do you really need Shabazz on the roster? What about Daryl Richardson? Do you really need him dressed for this game as well too? What about Xavier Grimble? You would think that maybe right now Grimble's spot is safe, but you got Ladarius Green back, and you got a couple other tight ends on the roster as well too. Do you really need him? So that's something that we're kind of looking for possibly happening on Saturday, and it could end up having an impact on the game, on the inactives on Sunday as well too.
Yes, I'm with you on all of that. We'll see how it plays out. So let's talk about the playbook and from Keith Butler's perspective in this one, Dave, because I look at the Colts and the Giants' offense is very similarly a suspect run game with Andrew Luck in there. Obviously, a high-level quarterback, really good receivers. The Giants are one of three teams with winning records not to score 30 points this year, which is a little bit surprising. They have run the ball for over 100 yards their last three games, but they're not a particularly efficient running team. Are you coming with the exact same game plan this week as you did against the Colts last week? And do you want to pressure Eli Manning? And because he's a guy who's not going to stand in the pocket and take a lot of hits, so he's going to get rid of the ball quickly. So is this a situation where you play your corners a little bit up and you bring the heat and, you look for those quick passes and maybe see if you can jump on? Or are you going to sit back a little bit on Eli.
Well, I think one thing's apparent. They're going to use a lot of 11 personnel in this game with their three wide receivers, and why wouldn't they? They'll spread you out. They're not much like the Steelers. They'll use that 11 personnel either you know, reduced or spread out wide, and they'll try to run regardless with this. They're going to, I think you're going to see very little two wide receiver sets with them. So the question becomes now, the Steelers will obviously, if you look back at the Colts would use a lot more heavier personnel than the Giants will. So what this means for the Steelers defense is you're going to see a lot of sub-package defense in there, and I suppose that means Stephon Tuitt and Javon Hargrave playing the highest percentage of snaps. And then your regular nickel secondary, and the question becomes is how, and we talked about this earlier in the week, how much do you leave Lawrence Timmons on the field? I think that's the big question. Now, this is a Giants offense that'll do everything out of any formation here. They'll run the power, the counter lead out of it as well. They're not afraid to run the football, even though they're not overly great at it. So even though Eli Manning has only been sacked 13 times in this game, if the Steelers can get him in those predictable situations, which is going to be tough to do first and foremost, I think you can see an opportunity where a guy like James Harrison has maybe a success a couple of times against a guy like their left tackle Flowers. Do I come after Eli a lot with a guy after off the corner? Look, Eli's a smart guy, right? I mean, he knows to identify that kind of stuff, and that's why he'll use the no huddle probably a lot in this game in an effort to get you to show your hand at this. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of exotic stuff out of the Steelers, maybe outside of maybe sugaring those A gaps and giving them looks that way. I think you just got, you hate to use the cliche that Tomlin and Keith Butler used several times this year, but you just got to win your one-on-one battles with your four guys up front, and he'll try to exploit the middle of the field with sitting down. Odell Beckham, they'll move Odell Beckham all around here. They'll line him up in the slot. So it's not an instance, I don't think, where you can take a guy like Cockrell or Artie Burns and say, hey, follow Odell around. Because, I mean, quite honestly, they've got great weapons there. You got Sterling Shepard, you got Victor Cruz, and you've got Odell Beckham Jr., of course. They'll use their backs out of the backfield, much like the Steelers do. They'll run a lot of rub routes, over in the middle to try to get Beckham free. Age-old saying, Dave, stop the run, tackle the catch, and don't get beat deep and hold on.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I don't think they'll have have somebody follow Beckham around. I think they'll go with what they have. I think they'll play some press. I think they should continue to bring heat on Eli. Don't let him sit back there. Be aggressive on the defensive side. On the offensive side of things, the big question mark is now, big question mark next to Sammy Coates and what's his role going to be. Well, first, let's just on the defensive side of things, are they going to dress all five outside linebackers because Mudds can play special teams? I mean, they're all going to get a helmet, right?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question right now, right? I mean, Mike Tomlin was pretty adamant, saying that they're going to go with a four-man rotation. So if you go with the four-man rotation and you dress five, number five better be a heck of a special. Well, let's run down the inactives or the projective inactives as we sit here right now. Like I said at the top of the show, if Ayers is promoted, it could jumble this up. We know Mahalik's going to be inactive. We know Mettenberger's going to be inactive. Assuming Darius Heyward-Bey is not sent to IR, he's going to be inactive. D'Angelo Williams is going to be inactive. That's four of five, assuming Heyward-Bey sticks. Do you need to dress Daryl Richardson for special teams, assuming he's not sent packing on waivers? He's a candidate to be inactive. If Shamarco's back, do you need Shabazz active? Probably not. Is L.J. Fort a better special teams player than, say, Jarvis Jones? So, is Xavier Grimble going to dress? It really, he's not a special teams demon, so I think you could add Xavier Grimble to the list of players inactive. I don't have a clue whether or not they're going to dress all five or not. And look, I mean, you can have Bud Dupree that can play on both sides. You have Motes and you have Chickalo that can play specifically on the left-hand side. I'm going to go out on a limb and just guess, David, and it's just an educated, non-educated guess. I'm going to guess they dress all five, and just one of those guys is an odd man out on defense.
Yeah, I think they dress all five as well. Okay, so then now back to the offensive side of things. Sammy Coates is the X factor, not just now, maybe for the rest of the season. I mean, it was Ladarius Green and Bud Dupree in terms of what they're going to bring. I think we're going to, as I've been saying all along, I've been saying it since they signed him, I've been saying it, when he comes back, I think he's going to be a big factor. And he was a big factor in the Indy game. If two catches for 60 yards, four catches for 40 yards, whatever, those were big plays in the Indy game. So I think we're going to see him do that type of stuff. I think we'll see Bud Dupree be impactful. I know a lot of people don't agree with me in that. Okay, we'll see how that plays out. Now, Sammy Coates, I have no idea. I don't know what to make of the Sammy Coates thing. The fact that he's been on the field for so few plays. If your goal is to have him be able to stretch the field, you would think even as a decoy, he could be out there running those routes to open up the field. I keep pointing out that it's 13 straight targets from Ben since week five, since he's caught a pass. If he can step the thing up a little bit, this team will be maybe in the best shape it's been, aside from the fact that they're missing Cam Hayward, the best shape it's been the entire season. They're that close, I think, to being the team that we expected them to be. I think they're improving defensively. Look, they've given up, less than 10 points in back-to-back games against not very good teams. So we'll see against not necessarily an explosive team, but a talented team offensively. In the Giants this week, and offensively for the Steelers, we know what they're able to do at home. We know how Ben generally plays at home. This could be the week where maybe they put all the everything together. And like I've said, I feel like if they win this game, they may end up running the table their last seven. And who knows if that gets them? Unlikely to get them home field advantage, but it'll certainly get them a home game in week one of the playoffs if they don't get the bye.
You know what I do first play from scrimmage, David?
So deep to Sammy
Coates. No, I let him run one of those tunnel screens and give him a very high percentage catch on the first play from scrimmage to get his confidence up there. That's what I do, very, very first offensive play. I want to get Sammy Coates back in the flow of catching the football, even if it's from 7 yards away. And then there, if you go back and look, I mean, the Giants, I was talking to some guys earlier in the week, Giants fans on one of their podcasts, David, and they were so very negative. It was almost like talking to some Steelers fans, very down on their defense. I'm like, you guys are crazy. You're not giving your defense enough respect, and I think I blew their mind when I started talking about the adjusted net yards per passing attempt stat, yada yada. But this is a good defense. Now they have been beat deep on some long throws, and I went back and looked at several of those long throws. One of those was a game against the Giants when. If memory serves me, the Ravens kind of ran it out of a heavy personnel look. The Giants showed initially like two deep safety look, and pre-snap they rolled one of those safeties, started cheating them down in the box there, and then their corners were up. And I think it left Mike Wallace one-on-one on the outside with I believe it was Eli Apple. And those are the type of situations that I think Ben will look for in this game, especially second and short or third and short situations. And I think if you can get Sammy out there lined up on you know, one of those younger corners in this game, I think you have to take a shot here. And Ben talked earlier in the week about I've got to make sure I do a better job of not underthrowing, you know, whoever's out there. Whether it was, you know, of course Martavis is not part of the equation here, but he said whether it's Martavis, Darius Hayward, Bay, or Sammy, I've got to try to overthrow these guys. That's why I think you'll see a couple times, much in the game, much like in the game against the Colts, I think you'll see Ben go deep a couple of times to Sammy, and I think he'll connect on one of these. But I would like to see Sammy used early in the game on a short, you know, tunnel screen or bubble screen pass to get him involved in the game. As far as Ladarius Green goes, once again, I think the Giants' defense can be exploited second level with, say, like a Y cross. You start him off on the right side of the line of scrimmage. He released. If you give Ben Roethlisberger time, if you get man-on-man coverage in those situations, I think you can get Ladarius kind of, you know, running away from a linebacker or a safety across the formation for a big, you know, for a big hit in this. Once again, if you go back and you look at some of these, double, triple explosive plays that the Giants have given up to, they have been beat in the seams, down the seams vertically against either cover two or quarter half, you know, which is quarters, cover six type situations. I think, once again, if Ben gets time, and not, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think there's going to be as good as this Giants defense has been this year, and even with the fact that we should see Janoris Jenkins follow Antonio Brown around quite a bit in this game, I think that the Steelers should be able to exploit the Giants vertically outside the hash marks in this game.
If they can, that's a big deal. I mean, look, you know my thoughts on the middle of the field and getting Eli Rogers and Ladarius Green involved. And if you have Sammy to stretch it, then great. This is a defense that's I think the most interesting thing when the Steelers have the ball is how effectively will they be able to run the football, because the Giants are obviously talented in that area. It's not quite the team that beat the Patriots in what, 2009, but they've got a, you know, the money they spent in the offseason looks like it's well spent. And so this, you know, I think it'll be an interesting matchup. If the Steelers can run the ball effectively, that should really open everything up. And then on the defensive side, the key and the most interesting thing will be, you know, how aggressively they go after Eli Manning.
You know, the thing when you look at that Giants defense is I thought initially they rotated those guys up front a little bit more than they actually do. They don't. They leave those starting four out there, and they're not very exotic with what they do up front either. It's almost like, here we are, we're going to run you over. And they've got some nice run stoppers up front. Olivia Vernon and JPP on the outside. JPP's really been coming on strong as of late. That ought to be a great matchup between him and Marcus Gilbert. You know, Steelers have been using more of the last two games of having Chris Hubbard in there as an extra blocker, especially on rundown. So it'll be interesting if Hubbard gets into the game about 10 times or so. And I think in the last three or four games, the Steelers have averaged 5 yards per carry when Hubbard has been in on running play. So that's one thing to watch there. An interesting stat about this Giants defense, David. Only two times this year have they allowed 100-yard receivers. Cobb and the Packers did it a few weeks ago, and then last week Terrell Pryor had over 100 yards. So quite a test for a guy like Antonio Brown. I think it's quite obvious he's going to need to crack the century mark in this game against a guy like Janoris Jenkins. If you go back and you watch that game, not that it holds much water right now against the Rams, which I did that yesterday from week four last year. Antonio had some success against Jenkins, and especially when he was lined up in the slot. So I would look for the Steelers to kind of exploit that. I think Antonio was targeted like seven times with Jenkins in coverage and had something like seven catches for 60 yards, and Brown obviously ended that game with over 100 yards in there as well. So that's one interesting statistical look at the Giants' defense. Here's another one. They have only allowed one single running back this year to top the century mark in yards from scrimmage. And any guesses as to who that running back was?
Darren Sproles.
No, sir. It was Terrence West, of all people. He is the only running back to have a 100 yards from scrimmage against the Giants so far this season. And Le'Veon Bell has, what, four of those games? Is that right? Four games that he's exceeded 100 yards from scrimmage. Either that or it's four 100-yard, I forget which one it is. But they, in short, they've done a good job of defending these running backs, both out of the backfield and on the ground. And this is a Giants defense that doesn't give up a lot of explosive runs. And once again, as we've talked several times in the last couple of weeks, this is a Steelers offense that hasn't been able to crack 20-yard runs and not very many runs over 10 yards at that. So you want to talk about a true test for the Steelers, not only on the defensive side of the ball, but this will be a good test on the offensive side of the ball as well, too. I think they need to get Le'Veon Bell over 100 yards from scrimmage, and they most definitely need to get Antonio Brown over 100 yards in receiving in order to win.
Hey, Steeler fans, the mortgage process can sometimes be more challenging than spelling Roethlisberger. Let our buddy Craig Oxane guide you through the sometimes daunting process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in New York. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give Craig Oxane a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email him at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Okay, Dave, the big news around the NFL is Rob Gronkowski is done for the season. And, they're talking about 8 weeks. Well, 8 weeks is the Super Bowl. So if they're there, hypothetically, that works. But you're not coming off back surgery and then 8 weeks in, all of a sudden playing your first game in the Super Bowl, I wouldn't think. I mean, Gronk might be Superman, so who knows? But that is big news in the AFC.
Yes, it is, and you wouldn't think one player makes that much, would make that big a difference on a team. But look, the Patriots have won without him. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. And Josh McDaniels and Brady they'll manage. The question is how well will they be able to manage? Remember, this is a did you see the stat that I tweeted yesterday? What if I told you the Steelers' defense has more sacks and more interceptions than the Patriots' defense? It's true.
Well, shows what happens when you get, you got an 8-sack game and the Giants got a 7-sack game against the Browns the week prior. So the week after.
Right.
So both teams loading up their sack totals against Cleveland.
Right. And my point being, though, overall, when you look at the Patriots defense as a whole so far this season, not great. They really rely on the offense putting up some points and getting the opposition in some unfavorable, late game situations, if you will. Tom Brady is going to miss Gronkowski. I'm Captain Obvious there. Martin, you know, they went out and they signed Bennett, the other tight end. Now, he's been bothered with both ankle and shoulder injuries this year as well, too. Their offensive line, I think, has been overall spotty as time at times. Sure, they like to run kind of the thunder and lightning in the backfield, but it will really be a test, I think, for Brady to see how this offense performs the rest of the way. Here's the biggest concern if you're a Steelers fan. What's going to happen now in that Patriots game against the Ravens in a couple of weeks? Say what you will about the Ravens' offense. Their defense has been solid this year. This sure makes their job a lot easier in this game a few weeks ago or a few weeks from now. And this is a game that I've kind of had circled for the Patriots for several weeks now, but without Gronkowski in there, I don't know. I might have to flip a coin on this one.
Wait, tell me one more time. Say that again.
The game against the Patriots and the Ravens coming up. You know, a few weeks ago, I had this one circled slam dunk for the Patriots, but now I'm not so sure. This indirectly could affect the Steelers. You know, if the Steelers don't win out, obviously, look, you need the Ravens to lose maybe one or.
Yeah, if you're a Steelers fan, you're certainly rooting for the Patriots. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Right, and look, even though the Patriots haven't officially secured a playoff spot yet, it's only a matter of time before it happens. I mean, they're going to win some games without Rob Gronkowski. The question is now, can they win that one against the Ravens? On top of it, sure would be nice to see the Ravens go get two L's in a row here, and the Steelers two wins in a row heading into that game, Christmas against the Ravens. I doubt that happens, but let me ask you this. Are the Patriots still the Super Bowl favorite in your mind?
That's a good question because I at least according to Bovada, so Vegas, the Steelers were the fifth favorite behind the four teams who are expected to, at this point, get byes. So it went New England, Dallas, Seattle, Oakland, and then the Steelers. I think according to Football Outsiders, the Steelers are seventh, with Atlanta and Kansas City in front of them. I would say they're probably the favorite because there maybe isn't a clear second-best team in the AFC right now, whereas, you know, I think you can look at Seattle and Dallas and, you know, you might even put another team or two in there in the NFC and say those are all pretty close. So, yes, but, you know, it's a big loss. I mean, look, they won without Brady and they won without Gronk at the beginning of the season, so it's not a bad team, but you know, you take Jamie Collins or you take Gronk off that team, and they're not as good. I don't think anybody would argue that.
Let me ask you this: how big a percentage of my money would you take to the sports book to bet on the Patriots winning it all right now?
Not a lot. Not
Thank
a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My wife appreciates that.
I'd rather take the Steelers at 12-1, then the Ravens, the Patriots at there were something like 3-1. I mean, that's a no brainer for me.
Is that really good odds for the Steelers though? Would you? I mean,
12-1.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it should be higher?
Let them lose another game and then go bet it. Yeah, I mean, no, I think 12-1. Excuse me. I think 12-1 is reasonable.
Yeah, I mean,
somewhere 12 to 15 to 1, somewhere in it.
Boy, they're not giving I tell you, not a lot of respect for the Ravens right now. When the Steelers obviously have better odds than they do, and yet the Ravens lead the division. But remember, all these odds came in too before the Gronkowski injury. So we're going to learn a lot this weekend, right? I mean, about a lot of teams.
We will learn a lot. We will learn a lot. And, you know, Kansas City, Atlanta, Steeler game, Ravens game, a lot of, a lot of interesting
Chargers games. Chargers at the Texans this week. And
who's Miami play?
Miami plays Baltimore, right?
Oh yeah, right. So yeah, well, while we're doing it, why not? Let's just get to it.
I'm sorry, the Texans at the Packers, the Chargers host the Buccaneers. So all right, that's a good segue. Let's go ahead and do our picks. I had the Cowboys minus 3 last night.
As did I.
All right, big fat L's, boy. That one hurt. Okay.
All right. Sorry, I'm just pulling them up here. 1 second.
I think I overtook you this past week too. Finally,
really?
I've been clawing my way back, much like the Steelers have. Defense has the last few weeks. I think I got you by a game or something. I think Allen told me.
I was up one going into the week, so would not surprise me.
But both of our records, we would be on the street right now if we.
Yeah, we were about, I think we were 7 or 8 games under 500 going into this week. By the way, just if you're listening to pregame stuff on Sunday, I will be on pregame at noon on ESPN Pittsburgh. I will be at Atria's if you're coming to the game. At PNC Park from noon to 2:25. You want to stop by and say hello, that's where I'll be. I'll be on the post game, and I will also be on Sports Showdown on CBS, KDKA Channel 2 or 802, or depending on what system you have, after the post game show. So a full day of activity for me on Sunday talking football. Okay, Dave, Denver at Jacksonville, Denver minus 3.5. I'll take the Broncos. Trevor Siemian looks like he won't go. So it looks like it'll be Paxton Lynch.
Boy, you smell a rat in this one or no? I mean, my gut tells me to jump on Denver here in the points, but I'm going to go against my gut this time. Give me Jacksonville at home against possibly Paxton Lynch. I think I'm going to call for an upset right now. Jacksonville wins this.
Okay. Falcons minus 4.5 against the Chiefs. Chiefs in an interesting 3-game stretch. They lose to Tampa at home. They get the amazing kind of comeback win over the Broncos. Now they got to go to Atlanta. Steeler fans should be rooting hard for the Falcons, so I'll take the Falcons.
Boy, that renewed Kansas City pass rush right now with Houston back, right? Boy, almighty. And Alex Smith, if he doesn't turn, you know, say what I like getting on Alex Smith's case, but very rarely does he turn the football over. What a great game that was last week against the Broncos. David, give me Kansas City to keep this one close and win it in the end. Another upset here. So give me Kansas City plus those points.
So the Packers turned the corner as they finally looked good. The other night, getting a 27-13 win over the Eagles. They're minus 6.5 against the Texans. Texans, they're not a good football team. They got issues at the quarterback position with Brock Osweiler. I'll bet on the Packers at home here, laying 6.5. That's too many points, I think, but I'm gonna lay it anyway. And so they are turning the corner and getting it sorted out.
60% chance snow showers in this one, I think. Houston gonna be able to play in that cold weather at Lambeau? I don't think so. Give me Green Bay later points.
Okay, AJ Green said he had a grade 2 tear and he'll try to make it back this year. He's not going to be back. He's not going to be back against the Steelers. So, you know, take that for what you will. You're not going to obviously play this week. Bengals are minus 1.5 at home against the Eagles. Man, Eagles are falling apart here on us down the stretch. They need this game badly to stay in the race. So I'll take the points in the Eagles.
Boy, I would think Philadelphia, with that pass rush of theirs and with Cincinnati being out without two offensive weapons, it would be the other way around here. So even Philadelphia on the road here, I think Philadelphia sacks Dalton like 5 or 6 times in this game, forces a key turnover, and I think Philly wins this. So give me Philadelphia, and I'll take that. What'd you say, 1.5?
Yep. Right. Saints minus 6 at home against Detroit. This should be a really interesting game. The Saints are back playing for their playoff lives every week. Drew Brees has been unbelievable. I mean, it's hard to say that Drew Brees doesn't get enough pub and he flies under the radar. But, man, week in and week out, year in and year out, Drew Brees just gets it done. Stafford's having a great year. Everybody knows about all the comebacks the Lions have had. But I'm going to go with the Saints. Just their offense is pretty unstoppable right now. Saints minus six.
Yeah, all I want is the over 53.5 because I don't know which way. I don't have a good feeling about this game at all, which way it's going to go. Boy, Drew Brees still getting it done. And look, Stafford's having a good season as well, too. Oh, give me the Lions on the road plus the points.
Niners, Bears, pick. I'll take the Niners in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago without Cutler now. Chip Kelly, Kaepernick's playing decent at times, but give me Chicago at home.
Rams getting 13 in New England. Jared Goff was good in the first half of this last one. We've talked about the Pats. I think 13's too many. I expect kind of a 27-20 win for the 27-16 win for the Pats. So that'll be enough to give me 13. I'll take the Rams.
Yeah, I want the points in this one as well, too.
Ravens minus 3.5 against the Dolphins. Go Dolphins. Give me 3.5.
Yeah, I don't see it. Sometimes I've given this Baltimore offense a little bit more credit, and maybe I've praised their defense a little bit more than what I should have. I don't see Baltimore having an issue in this game. I will obviously be rooting for Miami in this one, but I think Baltimore wins this one by a touchdown. So I'll lay those points.
Bills plus 3 in Oakland. That doesn't seem like the right line either. You'd think that'd be a little bit higher. So I'll go with your smell of rat theory and take the Bills, which would, I think if you're a Steelers fan, you're probably rooting for the Bills in this one.
Yeah, I think Buffalo's going to be able to run on this defense and do some other things. We'll see how effective Sammy Watkins can be. Will Derek Carr, will he be able to play under center at any, at all in this game? Look, a few question marks there. I mean, obviously they have a great offensive line, talking about the Raiders and all, but defensively there's a lot of question marks. And look, Buffalo really, really, really needs this game. I'm with you. Give me Buffalo on the road plus the points.
Tampa Bay plus 4 in San Diego. Take the over in this one too. I expect a shootout, and I'm going to ride the hot Jameis Winston Bucks and Mike Evans right now plus 4. Although I love the Chargers.
Boy, making that trip out west. I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about this game either. San Diego really needs this game, and they need a lot of things to go their way. Give me San Diego to cover this one at home against the Buccaneers.
Okay, I'll take the Skins and Kirk Cousins plus 2.5 in Arizona. Team's going east, I'm taking them. East team's going west, excuse me.
You want to talk about smelling a rat in this one as well, too. Jordan Reed going to play in this one? Boy, what a huge loss if he doesn't. And remember that stat that I posted, what was it, red zone percentage with Cousins and the Redskins on the road, not good at all. I think Washington loses another one here, I think Arizona gets him, late in this one. So give me the Cardinals to cover this one at home.
Sunday night, Carolina at Seattle. Seattle minus 7. Give me Carolina.
Yeah, I don't see it. Give me Seattle at home to cover this one.
Monday night, Colts at Jets. Nobody cares. Colts minus 1.5. I'll take Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I'll take Fitz. Boy, we're going to be on the opposite. Somebody's going to take probably a bigger lead this week. Give me the Jets at home, David, to win this one outright.
All right. Hey, Steeler Nation, mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or even just refinance, contact Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. A lifelong Steeler fan and Pittsburgh native, Craig's a nationally recognized lender. Would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. You can call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. And so it goes. Pittsburgh, 6. Talking to some guys in Vegas. I was doing some Vegas radio yesterday. Said he opened the line at 4.5, and he really expected it to stay there. And he said, all we're doing is getting money on the Steelers. Just everybody's betting on the Steelers. And it's, playing at home in this situation. We've seen what they've been able to do, 2 in a row now, getting relatively healthy. I like the Steelers in this one, Dave. And I'm going to get us $10, and I'm going to pick the Steelers to win this one 30-20.
what would a win in this game say?
I think you can say they're a good team again. Because I don't know that you can say that yet. I don't think at this point in the season you can just say you hope they're a good team or they have the potential to be a good team. But I think if they win this game and win it convincingly, you can say, okay, they're a good team.
This is the biggest test for the Steelers as far as both sides of the football goes since when?
I think all season because of their health. I mean, you know, you didn't look at the Eagles game as that. You didn't look at Miami as that. And then, you know, you didn't look at New England as that because Ben wasn't playing. I mean, maybe Dallas. You know, maybe Dallas was a good test. And, at some level, I think you can say they certainly passed the test offensively and didn't pass it defensively. But this is a game where I feel like, you know, you got two teams with – you got a team with a good record in the Giants, a decent record with the Steelers. It's a game – look, if you're a playoff team, you win this game. It's that simple. If they don't win this game – I don't know that they're a playoff team.
Before I make my pick here, that phrase "must win" has been creeping around this week. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being absolute must win, where do you rank this game for the Steelers?
Probably about a 7.5, 8.
I'd give it like a 6. I think they can lose this game and still run the table and. You know, obviously, I think then the Final Four become quote unquote must wins. But I would rank it a little bit lower down the must win scale than you have it. Okay, I don't have a clue. I see this ending up 24-20, some way somehow. This will be an excellent test for the Steelers on both sides of the football. I'll go ahead and with the Steelers at home, maybe Tomlin knows something about the crowd noise being how he emphasized it so much with this Giants and this no huddle here. Maybe the Steelers get a late turnover in this one, and then cash it in for some putos to take this 24-20 and. We'll see. That's the way I see this game ending up. I see it going under the what are you showing? 48.5 on this one. I see it going under on this one. Maybe it snows more than what they're predicting it will right now. So what a great test for the Steelers on both sides of football. And man, am I looking forward to seeing this game.
All right. Well, like I said, you can hear me at noon. You can hear me after the game. You can watch me on TV. Like
we got a few more minutes here. I wanted your thoughts on that on whether or not the competition committee really needs to take a hard look at what the Ravens did late in that game against the Bengals.
I think they should, but I don't have any problem with what they did. It's within the
rule. And I don't either. And I stated that in my post that look, what they did was well within the rules. Should a game end on an offensive penalty if the offensive team is ahead? Maybe that's the best way to look at this.
Yeah, that's probably the right thing that's probably how they can legislate it.
So it'll be interesting. I think there's a
you get an opportunity as a defensive team to say, okay, they committed a penalty. We want another play.
Right. I want your bold prediction for a player in this week's game. Already threw one out there. Sammy Coates gets a long touchdown. Gets back on.
I'll say Eli Rogers every week.
Okay. Big play.
Six for 90.
6 for 90. Okay. I'm gonna add on. I'm gonna add another bold prediction onto what I did the other day. I told you I had one. Ben Roethlisberger a few weeks ago talked about Roosevelt Nix and how he's pretty decent catching the football out of the backfield. Rosie Nix will have two catches in this game. They might only be for like 2 yards, but one of them will be a touchdown. Is that that's pretty bold, right?
Yeah, let's go with it.
All right, there you go. Okay, David, until Monday here, hopefully we're talking about a Steelers win. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. You can follow the show, at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you feel like donating to the show during the Christmas holidays, you can go to SteelersDepot.com and hit that donate button there. And, David, I believe I have made it out of this podcast, first one in forever, and we got it done in less than an hour. Hallelujah.
Good stuff. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.